George MacDonald, The Princess and the Goblin. An introduction written for the Puffin Classics edition of 2011. George MacDonald, born in 1824, grew up in a world where people did as everybody had always done, traveled on foot or on horseback, warmed the house with fire and lighted it with candles, wrote with goose feather pens. They knew their neighbors, but nobody else. Towns 50 miles apart might be utterly strange to each other. Compared to ours, that world seemed timeless, changeless, and yet, far more than ours, it was filled with mystery, danger, dark places, the unknown. It's still the world of our folk and fairy tales, and most of our fantasy stories. Our imagination is still at home there. Many of us are willing to erase all the automobiles and airplanes and electricity and electronics, escape from the machines we made that now control us, and let a story take us straight into the timeless green kingdoms of legend and fantasy. We learn about those kingdoms early. Our guides are the authors who began writing stories for children just about the time the timeless green world began to vanish, to become the world of the past, outside time, the country of There Was Once a Little Princess. George MacDonald was one of the first of those authors. The Princess and the Goblin is an old book now, but it was written for young readers. The heroine is 8 and the hero 12, and the language is mostly quite plain and straightforward. But MacDonald also uses words like excogitation. Some of his sentences are complicated. Some of the meanings of his sentences are very complicated. He wrote for children, not down to them. He didn't confuse being young with being simple-minded. I think he expected that a reader could either figure out excogitation or look it up in the dictionary, and that the deeper meanings that underlie his exciting story would gradually come clear to any thoughtful child. He is often stern. He can be tender. But he's never soft. And his green kingdom isn't very green. It's more like the north of Scotland where he grew up, a great stony, stormy landscape of high hills and poor farms, a lonesome, lofty land, beautiful in the play of cloud and mist and rainbows, a perfect place for magic shining in the air and goblins under the ground. MacDonald is also stern and clear about what nobility is. It has nothing to do with money or social status. A princess is a girl who behaves nobly. A girl who behaves nobly is a princess. Curdy the Miner, being brave and kind and behaving, or anyhow trying to behave, nobly and wisely, is a prince. The king is king because he's a good man. No other definition is allowed. This is radically moral democracy. It's very different from the lazy-minded stories that call some characters good and others bad, although they all behave exactly the same way. Only the goods win the battles, and the bads lose them. Besides being ugly, MacDonald's goblins are ugly only because they behave badly. Treated unjustly, instead of standing up for their rights, they went underground to sulk revengefully down in the dark, and so they got all twisted, with weird feet and no toes. This is a great story, and I love it all, but I love the goblins best.